Hello and welcome to Negan Report, your weekly roundup of all the latest Negan news and all other photographic announcements that we found interesting. It's Constantine here.
And this is Becky.
All right, well, let's do it. It's issue 122, and the first news is Nikon Z70-180 of 2.8 is finally shipping worldwide. It's actually arrived last week and has been shipped to the customers that pre-ordered this. We've tested the lens very recently.
We have.
And what are our thoughts on this?
I think for the price point that it is, this is a fantastic complement to the 17-28, 28-75 non-professional 2.8 lineup. And we will be getting more in within the next week or so. So if you didn't manage to snap one up from the first batch, not to worry, we will be receiving more imminently.
Mm-hmm. I personally think that Nikon obviously has an S line, so Nikon should also have a T line. And these type of lenses will fit that T line very well.
What does T stand for? Oh, oh, that's really subtle. Good. Enough of that now.
Enough of that. But lens pretty good. What I liked about this is actually the size of it. It's definitely a lot smaller and lighter than 70-200 2.8 lens.
For sure.
Now, obviously, you do get benefit of a bigger, heavier lens, so it comes with the performance as well. But if you are traveling, then having 2.8 and shooting wide open is actually pretty good, especially surprisingly sharp at 2.8.
Yes, and the fact that it can be coupled up with teleconverters, which I think the 2.8 kind of loans itself to, because then even though you're losing a little bit of light because of the teleconverters, you've still got nice wide aperture there. So overall, I'm really, really impressed with this offering from Nikon, and I am hoping that we'll be able to do some more tests comparing it with other lenses as well in the not too distant future.
Fantastic. Okay, well, now we're going to go into some rumor territory.
Oh, joy.
We're going to give you some facts, and then we're going to really go into some wild rumors that I think are not true.
Okay.
But we're going to talk through them.
Okay.
And see what happens. So the first one up is the new Nikon camera with the code N2137 has been registered in Indonesia.
Oh, all right then. So it's already been registered in Indonesia, and if we compare N2137 to other codes, well, the most recent release was the Z8, which was N2120.
Okay.
And before that was the Z30, which was N2121.
Yeah, and Z9 has a code N2014. Now, the question is, if you look at Z8 registration, so it was registered on July 13th, 2022, certified on February the 3rd, 2023, and announced in May 2023.
Right.
So if you look from the registration point of view, that looks like what, about 10 months or so?
Yeah, that's quite a long runway there.
Does it mean that that camera that's been registered now is going to come out in about 9-10 months down the road? Or we clearly have several cameras that we are expecting to be announced at some point this year or next year. So we are hoping for Z6 and Z7 Generation 3 announcements that would replace the Generation 2 cameras. And obviously there's a rumor going on about that full-frame Nikon ZF, which would be a bigger brother of the DX ZFC camera, so one of those retro cameras, which a lot of pundits are predicting to be a last-generation camera with introduction of the new generation technology, which is quite interesting. So what do you think this particular camera is? Obviously, if it's going to come out in 10 months, then what, we're not going to see more cameras coming out soon? I personally don't think that's the case.
Well, hold your horses there, because there are other registrations which have happened much later. For example, the code N1933 was registered in March 2023, but actually that code pertains to the Z5, which is a camera that's been out for over 4 years. So I don't know that the registration date necessarily has any bearing on when the camera's going to come out.
Okay.
There's my powers of extrapolation there.
All right. Okay. So assuming that this registration is going to happen now and the announcement is going to happen soon, we know that autumn is scheduled for one camera, let's say, and first quarter of the next year is scheduled for, let's say, another camera. Again, hypothetically speaking, based on rumors, so what do you think? If that's registration for the camera that's going to happen very soon, or is that something that's going to happen early next year?
Well, I think as we don't have any of the data right now, and we're thinking that there may be a camera release in September, just because historically cameras have been released in September, I would be fairly confident to say September sounds about right.
All right. Well, that means that it's happening, folks. Something is in the works.
Could be a lot of things happening between now and September, to be honest.
Exactly. So we have about a month. I think that's pretty good, because I thought we're going to have a kind of a slow month waiting for another announcement. I thought, what are we going to talk about? But now with all those things starting to pop up, I'm sure it will add fuel to the speculations. Now, going to the speculations, there's a wild rumor about Z63 coming from China. Weibo, which is a Chinese Twitter, as far as I know, the user called The Cat Naya is dissipating, had this to say.
They said, let's take a look at the Nikon Z63, as though they know something. It's almost a Z8, but it's replaced with an IMX309 CQT sensor. Equipped with a mechanical shutter, continuous shooting drops to 15 frames per second, and there's no blackout. The video function remains 8K 30p full frame and 4K 60p full frame and 4K 60p S35.
So I guess it's a Super 35, which means a cropped.
Yeah, and it is launched together with N-Log 2. With the blessing of X-Speed 7, get a new experience. Winky face. Tongue out emoji.
Okay, so obviously this is speculation, but let's dissect it a little bit.
First of all, I want to dissect the fact that they say, let's take a look at the Z63 with so much confidence.
Exactly. I can sit down one day and say, let's have a look at Z8 Mark II.
Let's take a look at the Z11.
Yeah. But if for some of you, those mentioning of different things sound a bit cryptic, so let's look into that. So IMX309 CQT is normally a code name for Sony sensor. I've looked at some Chinese forums, as I do, on my spare time, because English forums are just not good enough. So a couple of users had this to say. So IMX309 CQT sensor, they can't find the IMX309 line on the Sony website. That means that it's either a new model or a special order. Now, the second user replied to him, and he said that IMX309 is also called IMX309 AQJ, which was a sensor for D850, which was custom made by Sony for Nikon.
Right.
And also IMX309 BQJ was used for Z7 camera.
Mm.
So the reason why there's no data on Sony website about the sensors is because it was designed by Nikon and manufactured by Sony, not for external sale. So
makes much more sense.
Now, if we start to look into this, D850 had 45 megapixel sensors. Z7 had 45 megapixel sensors. Those were non-stacked sensors.
Yeah.
If IMX309 CQT, if it's the same line of sensors,
then it's going to be 45 megapixels.
Then it's going to be 45 megapixels. It doesn't make sense.
We can infer a lot from this information, but it doesn't necessarily mean that any of it is correct, particularly as The Cat Naya is dissipating doesn't cite any sources for this information. So they could just be making up part numbers for all we
know. What I would like the community help with is to tell us if you know the actual internal name of this Sony Z6 sensor. That would be quite interesting. And also Z8 and Z9 sensors, because obviously those Z8 and Z9 sensors are stacked.
Yes, and we did look for this information online and couldn't find it readily available. So we assume it's hidden somewhere on some forum.
Could be in Japanese forums. I haven't looked there yet, so go have a look at that. But also what's interesting from that particular, it's not a tweet, it's a Weibo, I guess. Then he talks about mechanical shutter. And it does make sense in a way for Nikon Generation 3 cameras to have a mechanical shutter just because they're cheaper to produce.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds actually counterproductive, isn't it? Because you would think electronic shutter should be cheaper to produce because then there are moving parts.
That's not the case though.
So it seems like we're going to see that. I do hope we're going to start to see those guards for the sensor,
I hope that every camera from here on out has a guard on the sensor, because the Z8 and the Z9 have shown us that this is absolutely essential. We do not want to be cleaning our sensors every 5 seconds.
Definitely not. And it's nice just when you're changing the lenses in a dusty environment to have all the dust on the guard instead of the sensor. It will eventually probably end up on the sensor, but
Exactly. It's a nice preventative feature. Now, they've also said continuous shooting drops to 15 frames per second. So we're taking drops in comparison to the Z8 because that's still more than the Z62 currently offers, and saying that there's no blackout between frames, which if it's got a mechanical shutter, I don't totally understand how that would, it would only be in silent shooting mode, I would assume.
Good point, Becky. Yeah, if you know how, then let us know in the comments below.
Now, I like how we're setting our viewers homework this week.
We do, because we want to have a conversation.
Yeah.
So obviously X-Speed 7 is nice to have, and that's what potentially brings that blackout-free experience into the mix.
X-Speed 7 is what we've seen in the Z8.
Yeah, and it seems like this is the process that's going to trickle down into all upcoming cameras. It just does make sense. Very similar how Apple does their things. They release their top processor, and then with the time, it trickles down into the cheaper models, you know, after a certain time, because maybe it becomes cheaper to produce. And then obviously they have a higher spec processor in the pipeline. So let's say, I guess we will see XPeed 8 or something like this on the Z9 Mark II camera potentially, which... again, a lot of people expecting it to happen before the Paris 2024, which makes sense. So it gives us at least another year. So, but that is discussion for a later day for sure. Now, what's also interesting to me is the following. They're talking about efficient frames per second, right? And the question is, okay, so Z6 Mark III, even if it stays a 24 megapixel camera, or if it has a new stacked sensor and it goes up to maybe 33 megapixels or in that, let's say, 13 plus megapixel range. It's supposed to be incredible in low light because Z6 is still the best low light mirrorless Nikon camera.
Indeed.
You know, so we've got that covered, but also because of the smaller resolution, I expect it to have a 5 frame rate sensor. Now, do you think the 15 frames is done deliberately not to compete with camera like Z9? Because technically the process is the same. If Z9 can do 20 frames per second at 45 megapixels, I don't see why Z6 Mark II can't do 20 frames per second or more at a lower resolution with the same processor.
Yeah, I think that they can't put all of the features from their flagship body into smaller bodies.
So it's just to do, with a cut in costs, really, more than anything
I would
else.
Say so, particularly as the price point that a camera like this would be at would be, you know, between the £2,000 and £3,000 mark. And the Z9 is a much more expensive camera. So more expensive everything is in there. That's my logical thinking anyway.
Yeah, but let's now move on to Z7 Mark III, which is...
not rumored.
You know, not rumored, but for me, it makes more sense to have IMX309 CQT if it's 45 megapixel sensor. And we could be totally wrong on this one. That would make more sense, right?
Sure.
And then you would reduce the frame rate. You would make it slow. It's not a stacked sensor at a certain price point. Do you think that makes more sense, or do you still want to have a slightly higher resolution, maybe 60 megapixel sensor into Z7 Mark III camera?
I do not see the point in having a Z7 III with the same sensor as the Z8 and the Z9 at this point, because although, yes, there is a £1,000 price jump between the Z7 II and the Z8, in order to put technological improvements into the Z7 Mark III, it's going to be halfway there. It's going to be 3,500, let's say. And then there's no point.
Yeah.
So I think that it would have to have some bigger differentiating factor. Yeah. And the most obvious one to me is the resolution of the sensor. That doesn't mean that it has to be 100 megapixels. It doesn't even have to be 60 megapixels. But it should, I think, be more than 45.
Yeah, and I totally agree. I think if we skip the comments and discussions about what the high resolution brings you onto the table, the advantages and disadvantages of it, from the marketing point of view of explaining the customer the differences between the models, I think it makes more sense to have a higher res sensor, non-stacked, which means it's a slower camera with a slower frame rate, but designed for, let's say, landscape and studio photographers who want to extract as much details as possible.
Yes.
With XPeed 7, that gives you autofocus speed, but doesn't give you the frame rate. And perhaps you don't really need a large buffer with it because the camera is not aimed at those people. You know, you can still make it a little bit cheaper, so it's not a ZA price. And that way, you have a viable option for people who can't afford Z8 and also don't need the speed of Z8 or Z9, but want to have a really good high dynamic range sensor that will provide a lot of details. Tell us what you think in the comments below, as usual.
Yeah.
All right. All right, so speaking of Z8, there's a new drama brewing up on the internet.
Drama!
And it's something that I wasn't sure if you're going to report on the podcast or not for several reasons. We're talking about broken and loose strap lugs on Z8. So I think there are 4 confirmed reports now. Some people say it's 10, but you know, if you start to read different comments, it's very difficult now. But according to Tom Hong, there are only 4 confirmed reports that he's aware of. So it appeared on Nikon Rumors. It was reported on Petapixel. And obviously it starts on Facebook groups, etc. So at the beginning, I wasn't sure if you're going to report on this, but obviously if you're not going to report on this, you're going to feel like we are biased towards the brands. And we try to be objective as much as we can, obviously, because we are Nikon users and it's a Nikon-only podcast. But then this morning, I saw an article by Tom Hogan looking at this particular issue. And from my personal perspective, I do trust Tom Hogan's opinion more than websites like Nikon Rumors and Petapixels. Obviously, they have a good content. They also have a clickbaity content and they have a business to run. And this is very important to understand. In terms of this, when they came out with those things, I wasn't 100% sure. But now let's look at what Tom Hogan wrote about this. And then we want your opinion on this. If you have issues that are described in those articles, do let us know in the comments below. Obviously, if this thing will develop in something bigger, we will find out. But as it stands, few people report a broken lot. So there are four cases, according to Tom Hogan. And Nikon came back to Petapixel saying that we are looking into this issue, which means nothing has been confirmed as a widespread or individual issues. They just said, we've heard those reports. We're looking into that. We'll let you know at a later date.
Exactly. So what Tom said is, I've received four confirmed reports of strap lugs failing on the Z8, two from people with whom I regularly communicate with and trust. Now, this is the key point.
Yeah.
One thing to say, oh, there's an issue, and speak in a very broad generality that cannot actually be traced back to the source. It's another matter to hear it from two individuals that Tom Hogan in particular knows and trusts and speaks to on a regular basis, which is why we're giving this a little bit more stock than we perhaps were at previous points. He says, first things first, Nikon has used the Z8 strap lug design on cameras for quite some time. Can't remember which DSLR first used these parts, but the Z8 style is one of two basic methods Nikon has used this century and have proven to be rugged and reliable, whether on full metal frame body or a hybrid style frame such as the Z8 uses. The lug doesn't screw into a metal chassis, as some have theorized. It plugs through a hole in the chassis body plate, and there's an arrangement on the other side similar to a cotter pin that locks it in place. My understanding is that the pin is supposed to be secured with a Loctite compound. It appears that the securing pin has come loose on some Z8 cameras, causing the strap lug to pull out of the body when pressure is put on it.
Okay, so first, basically, he describes how the strap lug was designed on Nikon cameras. So it's just good to have the understanding.
Absolutely.
Of what's happening to it. And he says, okay, so those things can get loose.
Yeah.
Okay, now, because the design has been used for years, or probably decades, if that issue would be very common, then we would hear about it. And those issues every now and then pop up on all cameras.
Yeah.
It's not related just to Nikon only, but those are individual issues.
Yes. So he carries on to say, this article was first written 2 weeks ago when I got the first email from someone. I almost published it last week after I received a very thorough report. But I was going to wait for Nikon USA to comment, even if that was a we're looking into it response.
Which, according to Petapixel, they did.
Yeah. However, now that other major sites are writing about it, I decided I'd better publish my thoughts now and update the article later if I get an official response. The questions I got asked twice each this past weekend was, do you think Nikon will recall the Z8 for a fix, and should I hold off buying a Z8? My answer to the first is I don't know for sure. But if Nikon sees this as a widespread issue, they likely will. My answer to the second is no. This issue has been percolating long enough that I'm pretty sure that the manufacturing plant has already been alerted to look closely at what they're doing in assembly. Since the Z8 is not in stock, any new cameras coming into the US would likely have been looked at very carefully. And not to quote Tom here, but just the same as with Nikon's service advisory on the Z8, stock has not been freely available in any part of the world. So even if you were buying a camera now and waiting for delivery to come in a few weeks' time, I highly doubt that your camera would be affected, if indeed it's an issue at all.
Yeah, he has also a perfect test for you to check on your Z8 if you're in doubt.
Yeah, he says, well, not a perfect test. A simple tug on the lug should indicate if the plug is snug. So try saying that 10 times fast.
In a world of wonder, we'll wait and see. Only Nikon's voice will set us free.
We live in a tale of trust, yet verify. But in camera straps, we must rely.
Here you have it, folks. In the age of the internet, where everyone goes for sensationalism, and if there's any issue, it gets amplified, we want to be objective. And if it becomes a widespread issue, obviously, we're going to report on this. But at this time, I think if you have this issue, do let us know in the comments below. If you don't have this issue, that's totally fine. But it seems to me that people are a little bit trigger happy, and we just want to keep calm and carry on, really.
Yes.
Speaking of tearing down Nikon Z8, Kalari did this with a whole camera, not just with lugs.
They did. So they said, we consider the Z8 camera a mid-difficulty camera to tear down. According to our camera tech, there were so many screws to keep track of. This usually makes for a difficult process of tearing down and putting back together.
Overall, nothing that hammer and chisel can't fix.
Kalari does infrared conversions, full color spectrum conversions.
They also convert Nikon cameras and put in the ultra-thin sensor glass on Nikon cameras, specifically Z6, and that allows you to use those Leica lenses and without any issue. So it would basically produce the same image quality that would produce on digital Leicas. And according to very keen enthusiasts on the forum, some people They do that because it's still cheaper than buying a proper Leica camera. I mean, obviously, we're talking about rangefinder experience with a mirrorless experience, you know, with the EVF, etc. But people do that, and Kalari is the company who can help with that.
Well, there you go. Now we have some additional information for you on the upcoming Nikon NX Ready smartphone app. Nikon is getting close to officially releasing the app, and they are currently in the beta testing phase.
Yeah, apparently they're sending out invites saying, come test my software.
Yeah. So they said NX Ready helps you to organize your photos by adjusting your camera settings based on your situation, lighting, and subject. It's easy and faster setup. So you've got the options there to try it out all. If you're an Apple user and not an Android person, if you're an Apple user, you can get notified when it is available and then provide feedback, which they will very greatly appreciate and hopefully take on board.
Yeah, apparently NX Ready was listed on Android App Store for a short time and then disappeared again. So you never know. Maybe it was just premature. But here you have it, folks. Now to some third-party news.
Mm?
Venus Optics Laowa announced this really weird microscope lens for Nikon Z mounts. It's called FF10-50X NA 0.5 Super Micro Upper Microscope Lens.
Yes.
So if you look at this picture, so basically the lens itself is one bit of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
There are some other three extensions that you can attach that microscope to for different magnifications.
Wow.
It will come in its own case that will include those extensions that you attach to the camera and then you put that microscope lens on.
That's very cool. It is going to be available in Canon EF, RF, Nikon F and Z, Sony E. We've got L, G and PL mounts. And it will be priced around $1,250.
You can have a look at the sample images below. Obviously, this lens takes photographs of flowers. And if you do that, I'm sure you'll enjoy that. I mean, I don't know how close you can get with a microscope lens.
I'd be well up for trying it if they can send me one. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Now onto reviews. So first one up, we have a video review of the Nikon Z 26mm f2.8 lens by Nicholas Frost.
Nice.
Thanks, Becky, for that input.
As you were.
And then we have a Sobinet who published an extensive review of the DX24 f1.7 lens that's just been released. It's a Chinese translated, but they have a list of pros and cons.
Yes. So in the pros, we have small and lightweight, dust and splash proof, affordable price, lens hood included, which is always a plus point, linear response like manual focus, good chromatic aberration correction, smooth background blur, etc. Now, in terms of the negatives, they've said they don't like the fact that the lens hood is screw-on. There is some peripheral resolution performance issues, slightly noisy bokeh around, again, the periphery, and slightly noticeable pincushion distortion. So it sounds like center resolution and performance is excellent, and then peripheral performance is not as good. But overall, they've said that it is the perfect compact, lightweight prime lens for enjoying on APS-C Z cameras.
What they say in the conclusion is that if you're actually a DX user and planning to stay with a DX, this is the one to consider among the other 28 and 40 millimeter full frame equivalents. Now, what they say is that if you are looking into switching to full frame at some point, then there is 26, 28 and 40 millimeter options. And obviously, with that ones, you can keep the lens and upgrade the body later on. But none of them will give you 1.7. So 40 goes to f2, but it's not as wide.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are looking at very shallow depth of field on a DX sensor, then this is definitely the best choice for that.
There we go. For your weekend read and watch, if you're a subscriber to Nikon Owner, you will have received this beautiful magazine in the post or into your inbox very recently. You can subscribe using the link in the description box below. And when you do, you get access to all of the previous issues.
And if you haven't received the magazine, then there's a video for you on our YouTube channel, which is called Con and Point and Shoot Cameras, where I review a Nikon 35Ti, beautiful luxury point and shoot, which takes film pictures.
Yes, it's a really, really nice video, actually. And there are some great photos in there. So if you'd like to see that review, you can head over to our channel homepage, and it's the most recent video we've uploaded.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for joining us this week.
Yes, thank you very much for watching and or listening. Please give us a like and a subscribe if you're on YouTube. We're now over 20,000 subscribers. We appreciate you all. And if you're listening on a podcast platform, give us a follow, a rating, a review. It all helps massively.
Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify Unlimited, YouTube Music, you name it. We want to get to 20K there as well. So any review or even mentioning of us, we do appreciate it. You know, if you're on Facebook groups, Reddits, do mention Nick Report, because then people can come and watch us talking about Nick and stuff. 4 hours.
They can. And if you'd like to find us on the internet, we occasionally post on that little app called Instagram. I'm at Rebecca_Danese. The shop is at Nikon at Gray's.
And I'm at Konstantin Kochkin. We will see you next week.
Bye-bye. Goodbye.